A brother and sister in trouble.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Those two siblings, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have some serious issues to work out. Earlier this week, Freddie reported a huge second quarter loss. This morning, it's Fannie's turn to do the mortgage numbers. The government has agreed to save these two in case they're about to drown. So looking at these numbers, we wondered how likely that might be. Steve Henn has more.
Losses continue to mount at Fannie and Freddie, and the big question on everyone's mind is, are we headed toward a government bailout?
Absolutely.
Tom LaMaffa is a mortgage industry economist at Wholesale Access.
I think that the situation is imperiled and the taxpayers are going to be called upon. Whether we call it a nationalization or not of Fannie and Freddie is just a matter of semantics.
We're not there yet. Freddie Mac has been saying for months it will raise at least $5.5 billion to shore up its books by issuing new stock. But a bleak housing market and Fannie and Freddie's blood-soaked balance sheets have left analysts like LaMaffa skeptical.
I don't think the private sector wants to go near this. I think they're going to let the government work this out and try to unwind this.
If that happened, it would cost taxpayers $25 billion. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Wall Street could be in for another down day. Yesterday, the Dow fell 224 points, almost 2%, to close at 11,431. The NASDAQ dropped 22 to 2355, and the S&P 500 slid 23 points. In Asia today, stocks were mixed by the close. Same story in Europe so far. Oil has fallen below $118 a barrel. Hillary Clinton is in Nevada today, campaigning for Barack Obama. She promised she would do this, but Obama vowed to help Clinton erase her campaign debt. Dan Gretz looks at how that's going.
Remember this appeal by Barack Obama on behalf of Hillary Clinton last month?
Senator Clinton still has some debt. There are many supporters of mine here who have not yet given something to help her retire that debt.
At last count, Obama supporters had come up with less than $100,000. Massey Rich with the Center for Responsive Politics explains why it's been a tough sell.
Hillary Clinton is like a furniture store that's having a going out of business sale, but all its merchandise is gone. There's nothing for people to buy.
Clinton owes more than $20 million. More than half of that is money she lent to herself. Then there's this cruel irony for Clinton.
Clinton has almost exactly what she owes that she'd raised toward the general election. The problem is that if those people had already maxed out to her in the primary, she can't touch their money. She has to return it.
Obama just has to hope Clinton isn't thinking about that while she stumps on his behalf. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
I guess no one wants to cross the pond anymore with the economy the way it is. According to one poll, 42% of French people plan to stay home this summer. In Britain, 58% are changing their vacation plans because of economic woes. More Europeans seem to be embracing the idea of the staycation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
When we talk about the stock market, we're usually referring to the big fellows, the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ. But there's a whole other world out there known as the over-the-counter market. Companies that trade over-the-counter can't meet the standards of a traditional exchange. Maybe you've gotten a spam email hyping a stock. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. But there is a man trying to bring some order to OTC trading. Amy Scott has more.
The over-the-counter market has long been known as the Wild West of stocks.
The securities run from very good, strong international companies to the most speculative, the most troubled, the most questionable.
That's Cromwell Coulson. A little over a decade ago, he bought a company that published what are known as the pink sheets. They were a sort of price list for over-the-counter stocks printed on pink paper. Old-fashioned, yes, and rife with fraud because there wasn't much accountability. Coulson took the service online, and he created a system to separate the good stocks from the bad and the ugly ones, like companies touted in stock spam campaigns or suspected of fraud.
It's almost impossible to eradicate this part of the business. What we want to do is slow it down. And the way you slow it down is you separate out the good companies.
At the headquarters of Pink OTC Markets, as the company's now called, everything is pink, from the chairs to the Venetian blinds to the jars full of Jelly Bellies.
Here's Air France. The market is 2420, 2460.
Last year, Coulson introduced a higher tier of the pink sheets called the OTCQX. It includes U.S. and foreign companies that disclose financial information but may not report to the Securities and Exchange Commission. Mike Molitor teaches securities law at Thomas M. Cooley Law School in Michigan. He says big-name foreign companies like Air France and Roche want access to U.S. investors. They don't want the expense and hassle of reporting to the SEC.
It basically just allows them to have securities traded in the U.S. without having to worry so much about additional U.S. securities law requirements.
For companies that don't qualify for the OTCQX, the pink sheets now offer a sort of rating system. Highest marks to companies with up-to-date information, a skull and crossbones for those with a hint of fraud. Until recently, Stephen Dupre traded pink sheet stocks for a major U.S. bank. Despite these improvements, he says the market is best left to sophisticated investors.
Just for an average investor, I would probably say it's not the best arena. You kind of have to do a little homework.
Cromwell Coulson says he's made it easier for investors to do that homework by shining a little more light on what had been a dark corner of the market. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.